Hi, you are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the precious metals. I'm Tori, alongside Rob and typically Miles, who's out today. Each week, the three of us provide a technical analysis of the metals charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict the market. So, Rob, you and I, we made Miles carry the whole show last week. We're going to do our best to play chart monkeys.
We're doing our penance this week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
There you go. So as usual, we'll start with kind of a weekly recap. So why don't you take off and just let us know what happened categorically over the last 7 days?
Well, gold was down so far this week from last week at 4.1%. We're currently trading at about 4,533, 4,540. Silver outdid gold. It is down 13% this week to $76. And if you go to the sister metals, platinum down 8.4% to $1,957 and change. And palladium pretty much matched it, down 8.3% to $1,373. Looking over at the U.S. dollar, pretty flat, just over $99. And U.S. oil right now is still below 100 at 98.48. You know, overall, Tori, the week has been choppy, except for the surprising downdraft in gold and silver. Not too much that we didn't expect. I do expect these markets to trend a little lower, but you never know.
No, you don't. And the volatility is there, like especially with the dollar and oil. Really, the whipsaw in those two asset classes have caused a lot of the volatility in gold and silver and platinum and palladium. And so even though we're flat on the week, you did see quite the swing, especially in oil.
Mm-hmm.
And yet from recording Wednesday the 13th to recording Wednesday today, which is the 20th, we're basically where we started last week. But again, that doesn't mean that there hasn't been the ups and the downs, which we're continuing to ride. I mean, gold is up 1% today alone. Silver is down 13% on the week, but 9% of that happened Friday in one day. And now silver is up 3% today. So it's rebounded a little bit. And we've got this trading channel here that kind of continues. So let's focus on charts here for a little bit before we transition over to the metals. Gold is up 4.7% year to date, and that's not terrible despite us being these lower figures here. That does compare weakly, you know, poorly, I would say, to the last 2 years, because at this time in 2024, gold was up 15%, and at this time of year last year, it was up 24%.
Right.
So those are anomalous years, and we've said that over and over again. Don't expect that all the time. But we're on a great pace. You know, if we're just always trying to have a 10% climb in gold.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we try to lead our clients to expect as we go forward.
And as Miles has pointed out here in previous weeks, we've had sort of this declining channel in the gold price since we hit that January high and then we hit that March low. And so we did have a little bit of a breakout from that channel, arguably, that didn't hold, and we're right back in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the declining trend line really continues. We're not in a bear market, but we do have some bearish activity. We did set a little bit of a higher high from in the short term, but in this channel, again, we set a lower high. And with that, that means continued weakness until morale changes, right?
So the beatings will continue.
That's right. That's right. And we've got the seasonal trend.
Well, but seasonally, spring is usually one of the strongest periods, and it has not been so this year. We're going into a summer where, you know, one out of every five summers tends to be very strong. So if you're coming in with a tepid spring market, we could see what happens in the summer, especially if the situation in Iran finally resolves itself.
Everything's hedging on that.
Yeah.
The whole global economy is hedging on that. I mean, that's fundamental number one right now. So we can't predict any better than anybody else can. Plus, every time somebody speaks from a microphone that wields any sort of influence, it's a different statement, you know? And so the markets are just getting tossed around, and not just uniquely, again, to our markets, but there's a lot of bullish sentiment with the metals. So the price expectations for the end of the year are still strong. And I'm not talking about by gold brokerage firms. I'm talking about Wall Street.
Yeah, I mean, Goldman is predicting 5,400 by the end of the year. UBS 5,900, Deutsche Bank 6,000, JP Morgan 6,300.
If we see those numbers, it wouldn't surprise us either. The issue that we have is that Treasury yields are a major headwind right now.
Yep.
And so with what oil has been doing and concurrently what the dollar has been doing, those are headwinds. So as the dollar goes up, gold tends to go down, and oil has been kind of leading the charge. And so it's down pretty aggressively today. The equities markets like it. The Dow is up over 500 points. Yippee. It may last a day. It may last a week. Who knows? The further technical analysis, though, of that breakout. So when you have these sort of declining trend lines or angled trend lines, they can be pretty predictive. They're a little bit less predictable or less stable, if you will, than the horizontal trend lines where we can see like Fibonacci retracements. And even though it's not a horizontal line, things like the moving averages really matter. And so if we continue this downturn, we've got upside resistance at somewhere between 4,800 to 5,000. That's kind of one zone. Okay. And this is a great chart by Jesse Colombo that I'm going to put up here. And you'll see the same declining channel that Miles has pointed out. And he puts these horizontal zones in there. And then this next one is the moving averages. So for those of you listening on the radio, you can always go to YouTube and search Golden Rule Radio, or you can go to our website, which is McIlvaney.com/radio, and you'll be able to see all of these images up so that you can see what we're pointing out, because the charts really do matter. But we have these moving averages, and the 50-day and the 20-day moving averages have turned down. They've been going down for over a month now, but the 200-day moving average is still strongly up. And it's the 200-day moving average that we bounced off of when we hit that March low, right around 4,100. That lined up with that 200-day moving average. And now the 200-day moving average is about $4,341, and we're not far from that.
We're only 5% away from that.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Nothing. And to me, we've got a lot of technical support at 4,400, you know, some previous lows that we put in. And we've got the 200-day moving average climbing up towards that 4,400. So I feel really good about that being a really strong support level. And again, it doesn't mean that it holds. We could go back and test the 4,100 because that did happen. Yeah. We could go below that. And it doesn't mean an end of the bull market. What it means is a continuation of dollar strength in the short term, a continuation of the conflict, more importantly, a continuation of these treasury yields spiking, which I think we really need to get into that conversation.
Well, it's not just the treasury yield, it's the interest on the national debt.
Oh, big time. Big time. Treasury yields will climb as a result of that as well. Like the more debt we accrue, the more the government has to pay in order for people to buy our debt. There's less confidence in our currency and in our bonds and in our treasuries.
But then it also throws a monkey wrench into Wall Street's analysis of 40% bonds and 60% equities. If you have bond yields increasing, that just cuts the feet out from underneath the bond market, because obviously rising interest rates are bad for bond values. So that's why you're seeing so many of these Wall Street firms suddenly changing their emphasis and splitting the difference. Okay, 20% bonds, 20% gold, and then the rest in equities. And that's not uncommon anymore.
No, and the math proves that out. Right? That's not hopeful thinking.
No,
right?
You're not speculating.
No, you're just looking back on 10, 20, 30, 40 years worth of math and showing how a portfolio is outperforming a 60-40 if it has 20% gold in it, right? So it far outperforms and it minimizes your drawdown so that when there are market corrections, the gold is going to counter that, act as that hedge, and your portfolio may be mostly pulled down, but it won't be pulled down as sharply or as deeply as it would be if you just had stocks and bonds.
Well, even if you had a drawdown on Wall Street, you'll feel the initial drawdown on gold too, because it tends to follow a significant, you know, 20, 30% drop in the stock market. But that only lasts for a matter of weeks or even days, like we have seen in the last 20 years. And then it suddenly rebounds aggressively. So, yeah.
That's a good point. The equities markets are very, very, very overvalued.
Oh.
So before we, I know we're—
Yeah,
we're
you need to go into that.
Bouncing around here a little bit, but let's talk about that for just a sec, because, sorry, there's an AI bubble, period. people could argue that it's got room to run. Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay.
But there's actually an AI bubble, but there are five other indicators as to how overvalued the stocks are. So you've got to be careful. You can certainly trim some position and move to cash. And in through our investment triangle, we do recommend that you always remain allocated in a cash or low yield type situation, as well as growth, mm-hmm. seeking that performance and return, as well as your physical commodities. And we're in a commodity secular bull market right now. And that's why you own commodities. Gold, silver, platinum, palladium, they just tend to be the most easily acquired, stored, liquidated, all that. But let's talk about the five ways that are simple to see how overvalued the equities are right now. One, we have the highest ever Buffett indicator in terms of stock value to GDP. We've never been higher. Price per sales of stocks is 3.5 times. That's an all-time high. Price per book, 5.5 times. That's an all-time high. Forward-looking price to earnings ratio, PE ratio, 26 times. That matches the 2000.com peak before that bubble burst. And then finally, dividend yield. So as those equity markets get riskier and riskier, companies start paying lower dividends. And right now, the dividend yield is 1%, which is near a record low. So there's five indications that kind of tell you it's not a pretty picture on the equity side. So you better be diversifying in your allocation. Now, going back to these treasury yields, I want to just make sure that we're pointing out so that the listener understands, like, why is gold down right now? We have war, you know, we have uncertainty, we have geopolitical tensions that are not even specific just to Iran, because we've got the Russia-Ukraine thing, we've got Taiwan tensions. All of those things should be driving gold higher. But again, when measured in U.S. dollars, those treasury yields really matter.
Yeah, I mean, your two-year yield is just over 4%, 4.135. Your 10-year yield is at 4.684. And your 30-year is at 5.195, almost 5.2%. Those are significant. You know, if you go back a few years and see where those yields were, say 10, 15 years ago, huge increase in the yield.
Huge, yeah. That 30-year, especially, I mean, that's a negative sign for the long term.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's where the debt picture is getting painted in. But that's the highest yield on the 30-year since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's higher even than in the Biden term when those treasury yields spiked in 2023. And every time the 10-year yield, which tends to be the benchmark that people look at, but every time it got to about 4.4%, President Trump came out and was saying, oh, we've got a peace deal, or we've got a ceasefire, or we're working on a good deal, or we're having a meeting. And it would drive that treasury yield back down. The market is very, very sensitive to what's going on with the conflict, mostly now because of the Strait of Hormuz and the oil flows. But it's not successful anymore. Now here we are at 4.684. That's no bueno, even though they've pulled back just a little bit today on some, again, something from the microphone. It's not what's actually happening. It's what they're saying could happen. And the longer that gets drawn out, the worse it is for the bond market and certainly the dollar. We know President Trump wants to revitalize the industrial and manufacturing aspect of the U.S. economy. He needs a weaker dollar to do that. So he wants a weaker dollar, and he'll do anything he can to stimulate the stock market. You hear him say all the time, well, the economy is doing great. You know, look at the stock market. And I used to rail against this with Biden and other presidents. Like, it's not an economic indicator, right? It's just like, where is money flowing? Either desperation or whatever else.
Yeah.
He'll do anything to stimulate the stock market and probably even housing, you know, whether that's rate cuts or...
Well, he's hoping, you know, with all his policy changes and what they started off doing a year, year and a half ago, these are not short-term fixes. These are long-term fixes. And the things he is attempting to do and hoping it will grab hold of our economy and our society within the next 2 to 3 years, that may be asking too much. Now, the next administration is going to benefit greatly from what he's putting in place, and hopefully he will too. We want these policies to be successful, but you know, great, the price of eggs are down. That was on everybody's mind a year ago, but the price of gasoline and diesel is not down, it is up. So the American people are feeling it, and they want Iran solved quickly. Let's move on, let's get back to domestic issues. I don't know that he can, but we're hoping that this can work. But even if it does work, Tory, it's still very aggressive for the price action of gold. And I'm curious, I know you just got back from a week with Hedgeye. I'm curious as to how they are unpacking what they see happening and what's coming.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's not a pretty picture, and it's not just Hedgeye's official positions or anything like that. Hedgeye is a major risk management firm that people who manage money, from portfolio managers to investment advisors to hedge fund managers, big money, institutional money, and individual money, traders, they subscribe to Hedgeye as a resource for macro and certainly market analysis, all the way down to the individual stock. And so they had their Hedgeye Live conference last week, which was very informative, and some key takeaways, I guess you will, from some keynote speakers like Jim Rickards, who wrote multiple books that we've read as a staff.
Yeah.
And to me, his most telling takeaways were that he thinks gold's going to $10,000 by the end of 2027. And, you know, that's a doubling from here. That's really not all that much. But it's a big number, and it's a continuation of this current trend. He thinks regional wars are going to continue. That'll be part of it. But this oil and gas price spike fallout's going to last years. Like, even if the Hormuz Strait opened up fully right now, there's been so much damage infrastructure-wise, especially to, like, the liquefied natural gas and some of the natural gas issues in general, refineries that Iran has bombed in other countries or that Iran has had bombed. Some of this stuff takes 3 to 5 years to fix. And another takeaway was like, look, the yuan is not a threat. He kind of totally minimized the threat of the Chinese currency. They have no bond market. It's less than 3% of global trade in yuan. And he's like, people need to kind of let go of that fear and really be concerned about what's going on with the U.S. dollar. Neil Howe was also there. He wrote The Fourth Turning. We read that as a staff.
Yeah.
He's now got the book The Fourth Turning is Here, meaning that we're in that fourth turning. So think of The Fourth Turning as sort of a social, political, geopolitical, financial winter. We go through these seasons that tend to be about a generation in length, and they tend to be marked by major unrest in those four areas. And because of that, marked by major war. So the last fourth turning was World War II. And before that was Civil War. Before that was Revolutionary War, right? So you have these cycles of war that are just an indication as to what's really going on, not just politically, but financially and ultimately socially. So he feels like we're in it. That's going to last and peak around the early 2030s. So don't expect some immediate fix and all that. The picture is kind of bleak. This is important because it should educate and inform listeners as to where you should be investing. And again, we're in a secular commodities bull market right now. You're also in an equities bull market. But this commodities bull market is being driven by inflation. And fortunately, there's some systemic issues here that aren't necessarily on the surface. So Danielle DiMartino Booth was another speaker there, and she really points to the labor market weakness and how it actually affirms that the U.S. is actually in a current recession. She worked at the Federal Reserve. We've seen the fourth straight month of job loss. Arguably, we've had 12 months of downward revisions, which is another recession indicator. But her biggest concern is this private credit market. Private Yeah. credit, shadow banking is huge, and it's at a scale that none of us can comprehend. In fact, it's so big that there are now at least four companies, two of them start with black, that are considered too big to fail. That's not a bank. So No. these entities can have systemic impact when they really spiral down. And that's not good because it's not like banking regulation. Most importantly, here's the thing to take away from Hedgeye. I'm going to put these images up here. They measure the economic landscape, the investment landscape in what's called quads. So picture this graph, okay? The vertical line is the y-axis. The horizontal line is the x-axis. Well, as you move right on the x-axis, that means inflation is picking up. As you move north on that y-axis, that means GDP is picking up. So the top right corner, which is quad two, is going to be GDP expanding, meaning the economy is doing well, and inflation is expanding. If the bottom left corner is what's called quad four, so it goes clockwise, one, two, down to three, left to four. Quad four means GDP is slowing and inflation is slowing, and that's not good, right? That's a stagnant, dead economy in a sense. So based on their forecasts and based on current analysis and expert analysis and predictive models, they say that we're in quad two right now, which is growth is accelerating and inflation is accelerating. They believe that growth is going to slow. So very soon, by the end of this quarter, we're going to be in quad three, which means economic activity is slowing as a result of what's going on with the energy prices, and inflation is continuing to accelerate. Then we're going to stay in quad three for the fourth quarter of this year. So we're going to have third quarter quad three, fourth quarter quad two, which is going back to growth picking back up in inflation. And then we're going to revert to a quad four. And it's going to get real ugly because it takes time for all this stuff to settle. And when that happens, when you're in a quad four, the reason it's important is that's when the central bank and the U.S. Treasury have to take action. So the central bank does things like cut rates to try to stimulate. They increase the money supply to try to stimulate.
They'll increase their balance sheet.
And they need banks pumping money into the system. So the central bank doesn't pump the money into the system.
No, the banks do
it for them. So that's where you start to reignite inflation. So even if inflation starts to cool, they then have permission to kind of reignite it in order to stimulate. And that's going to be so good for gold. This picture looks great for gold. I'll tell you what it's concerning me regarding is silver. Let's get into this bull market, bear market argument for silver.
It's going to be so hard. China right now can pump out an electric car from start to finish within minutes. It's absolutely insane. They're fully automated. They just, I mean, I say minutes, maybe an hour or two. But who's going to buy
them? Well, it's like every 47 seconds a new car comes off the assembly line. That doesn't mean it took 47 seconds to make it, but you're right. I mean, it's less than a minute every minute there's a car coming off.
They can outproduce more than the market can absorb, and that's where we're headed. I mean, right now people are driving 20-year-old cars. Because he doesn't want to pay $75,000 or $90,000 for a new one. People are slowing down their purchases. And the ones who are buying the new cars are falling behind on their payments. So yeah, there's a glut coming and the economy is going to slow as a result.
Well, and the higher that fossil fuel prices stay elevated, the more alternative energy is looked at, primarily solar. And so solar panels demand a lot of silver, which feeds into the Chinese demand. They've been buying silver like crazy. We have a shortage anyway.
We do.
You know, mining supply versus industrial demand.
But even the mines are running into problems because of higher energy costs. So you're looking at demand for solar panels and EVs and wind turbines.
And weapons.
And well, missile heads. Now that's a whole different sector. But all the government subsidies for people buying electric vehicles and solar panels, that's gone.
Yeah.
So where's the incentive?
See, that's my concern because we're in a commodity bull market. Silver is a commodity, I would argue. Gold is a money metal. They can move in lockstep with each other sometimes. Oftentimes they don't, which is why we see fluctuations in the gold to silver ratio, which is back below 60 this week. It's been kind of chopping sideways for months now. Here's an image just on a gold silver ratio at 59 today as we record. And the lower it goes, that means silver is outperforming gold. And this is the lowest we've been in arguably 12 years, other than just a few months ago. That ratio is down. And can it go much lower? It could. In 2011, we saw a ratio of about 31 to 1. And that means that silver could double gold's performance from here and take us down into that range. And a lot of people think that's going to happen. My question is, where's the industrial fervor if we remain in an elevated energy? Because see, oil is the ultimate inflation driver. Oil is the ultimate force multiplier when it comes to inflation, because it has a ripple effect through every aspect of the economy globally. And this isn't a U.S. specific thing. So the PPI is up 9.8% year over year. That's not good. That's only happened 16% of all months since 1914. And when that has happened, the Dow has dropped an average of 7.3%. And that's happened 76% of the time. It drops 7.3% in the short term. The longer it draws out, the worse it is. That was another takeaway from Hedgeye. They really feel like 4.25% inflation is guaranteed. It's baked in. And arguably, you could see it getting to 5%, depending on how long this conflict gets drawn out. That's economically stagnating. So again, where's the demand for silver going to come from in that instance? And that's one of my hesitations with silver. I would urge caution. Could it double from here? Absolutely. We're going to see $200 silver. We just don't know when. Doesn't have to happen this year.
Right.
And remember, too, a lot of this hinges on the national debt. We don't have a debt issue here in the U.S. We have a G7 debt. We have a global sovereign debt crisis brewing where there's just too much debt. It has to be rolled over at higher rates. That's not going to be good. Corporate debt has real similar exposure because the interest rates were so low for so long. The greatest danger geopolitically comes from nations in decline. And if you force Iran into a declining economy, that's also very risky. But as nations start to decline, geopolitical tensions actually start to ramp up. That's going to do it for this week's Golden Rule Radio. Robin, I thank you. We look forward to Miles returning next week. If you like what you heard, the best resource for listening to and seeing the images on this show is our website, McElvaney.com. And as always, you can call us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.